God's still delivering, folks. I said he's still delivering. He's still touching. He's still anointing. Amen. One more time. Give God. Just give him honor. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you for obeying God. Amen. It's all God's time. Amen. God can do more in 1 second than man can do in a lifetime. Just love the Spirit of God. I love the anointing that I feel this morning. Those of you that receive prayer, you hold on to that victory. Don't you let Satan give you doubt this morning. Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever even ask or think. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. Matthew this morning. I feel such an anointing of God in this building this morning. Don't you quit praising God. Don't you quit worshiping God. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to entertain the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that is here this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. You know, if we can shout in the singing, we can shout in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the same God, same Spirit, same healing, same anointing. Glory to God. From St. Matthew chapter number 14, Matthew chapter number 14, beginning with verse number 14. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place." Say that with me this morning. This is a desert place. "And the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," or food, or sustenance. "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Jesus said, "Bring them hither to me." Heavenly Father, we thank you. Mighty God, we love you. We exalt your name. We lift you up this morning, God. We pray, God, that your Shekinah power will fill this sanctuary. God, that it will hover over each and every one that has come this way this morning. God, that you may bless us, that you may feed us, that you may strengthen us, God, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. Father, as a vessel this morning, I ask, God, that the Holy Spirit would anoint these lips of clay. God, to be nothing more than a vessel and an oracle, God, for you to speak to our hearts this morning, God. Lift up our spirit, lift up our countenance, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that you so richly deserve. And we ask it in that mighty and that precious and sweet name of Jesus. Amen. One more hand clap of praise for the Lord. You may be seated. Love the story. Amen. I love this account of the mighty power of Jesus. If I had a message titled this morning, it would be simply, "Bring it to Jesus." Thank God for those of you this morning that brought it to Jesus. I don't know why sometimes he is the last alternative. I don't know. I myself am very... I do that a lot myself. I find myself trying to work situations out or do something on my own, and inevitably it ends up I just have to bring it to Jesus. But oh, there's something that happens with the exchanging of hands. Amen. Here, take this and give it to me. It's no longer your responsibility. Glory to God. It's no longer your worry. Amen. It's no longer your doubt. You just give it to Jesus. Glory to God. Some of you hadn't learned that yet. Some of us hadn't. We're still holding on to it. We're still, Lord, heal it, touch it, note it. No, but you hadn't really brought it to Jesus. Jesus said, bring it hither to me. Notice that Jesus didn't go and take it out of their hand. Jesus didn't worry. He said, you bring it to me. You bring it to me. Let me lay just a little groundwork, if I may, this morning to get to where I want to go. This account took place just after the beheading of John the Baptist. Imagine, if you will, the fleshly part of Jesus and the great torment and the mourning that he was going through. His cousin, his dear cousin, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the one that pointed to the Christ. He's the one that said, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and do his shoe latches. He's greater than I am. I am not the Messiah. I'm pointing you to that one. And to know that he has just been killed and beheaded, and it had to be very disturbing to the flesh of Jesus. And we find that Jesus here, the onset of this particular story, has departed by ship into a desert place. Notice he's leaving the water. He's leaving the sustenance. He's leaving the place where fishes are abundant. He's going into a desert place. Undoubtedly, I'll just imagine that he was going to pray and maybe to mourn the death of his dear cousin, John the Baptist. But the people found out that Jesus was departing into the desert place, and the Bible says that they left their villages and they followed him. If you're going to follow Jesus, sometimes he's going to lead you into desert and barren land. Because he knows the benefits. Amen. We don't think about benefits in the desert. We don't think about benefits in a barren and dry and thirsty part of our life. But I can assure you through past experience, I have grown more in the desert than I ever grew on the mountaintop. Amen. I praise him on the mountaintop. I grow in the desert. And because I grow in the desert, I can praise him on the mountaintops. Amen. And let me tell you something. When you begin to grow in the desert, you're going to find you're going to be able to eat in the desert. Hallelujah. A lot of folks think you can't eat in a dry and barren land. But Jesus can take that, amen, and give you and put a feast right in the middle of your desert. So the people follow Jesus out of the cities, and it says that Jesus came forth. Now, that came forth lets me to believe that even though he was in a desert, he was still in a place, he man of contact with the Father. Glory to God. Not only a desert place, but a place inside the desert, almost like a inner prison, if you would, where Paul and Silas was. They were not just thrown in an ordinary prison. They was in the inner prison. Amen. And sometimes when we think we're just in a little bit captivated, we can't even lift our hands or our head and praise the Lord. But Paul and Silas was the innermost prison. And right there in their feet and their hands was made fast in stocks, but that didn't stop them from glorifying and praising God. Amen. You know what? I'm inclined to believe that there is nothing in this world that should prevent us from glorifying and praising God, regardless of the mood we're in, regardless of how our body feels, regardless of what kind of work problems we've had. I'm inclined to believe that there is nothing that's worthy of preventing us from glorifying and praising God. Amen. And certainly in the congregation, there needs to be liberty. There needs to be deliverance. There needs to be an acceptance of the power of God to enter into his sanctuary and give him praise and honor and glory. But I'm telling you, if you can do it with the right frame of mind, you can do it in the desert and barren land as well. So Jesus came forth and saw the multitude and had compassion on them. I think that there's a couple of things here that Jesus was reminded of that I think that we can take a lesson from. No matter what we're going through, maybe the death of a loved one, a very precious loved one in this instance. No matter how tired we become, no matter how desert and barren the surroundings around us are, the work must carry on. Amen. If God has set you in the body of Christ, the work
must go on. Amen. We've got to continue and keep going. Amen. In the power of God, regardless of what the consequences are, regardless of the obstacles that come our way. And I believe Jesus had every right to say, you know what? I'm going to take a sabbatical. I'm going to take a few days off. I'm going to just kind of go into the desert place, and I'm going to, you know, meditate and pray and mourn the passing of my precious cousin. And I'll pick up a little bit later. But he saw the multitude. He saw the needs. He saw the hunger. He saw the afflicted. He saw the destitute. He saw the lame. He saw the blind. And he said, I got to go on. I got to carry on. And it said, Jesus, amen, came forth and he had compassion on the multitude. And the Bible says he healed their sick. And let me tell you something. I don't believe it was a 15-minute prayer. I don't know what time of day exactly it was that they departed into this desert, but they got so caught up in praying for folks and touching Jesus and Jesus changing lives, amen, that time just elapsed. And the Bible says that that time passed and the disciples became worried because so many had traveled so far and had nothing to feed them, and they was going to, Lord, you're just going to have to let them go so they can go back and go into the villages and buy themselves some food because the time has passed. And I find that Jesus was not upset about the time. He was not concerned about the evening or the evening meal or that they needed food or sustenance. I love what he said. They need not depart. Come on. They can eat right here. Now imagine the expression on some of the disciples' face. Well, Lord, there's no McDonald's here. There's no all-you-can-eat buffet. This is a desert place. How you gonna eat in a desert place? Can't you hear Satan now when you're praying and you're meditating and you're seeking God and you're in one of the driest times of your life, one of those times when I've heard people say this, I don't believe my prayer is getting as far as the roof of this building. You know what? I got good news for you. The roof of this building does not keep God from hearing your prayers. You know what else? I don't even have to hear your prayer for God to hear it. You don't even have to utter it, amen, with your mouth. You can speak it in your heart and God still hears it, amen. He is an attentive God. He is an on-time God. And I believe that there's times when we think that we're not getting through to God and God's hearing us all time, and God's already formulated a plan and made a way for us. And Jesus said, you don't have to go out of this desert to eat. You can eat right here in the middle of your problem. You can eat right here in the middle of your affliction. You can eat right here in the middle of the longest, driest, most horrible and horrific trial that you've ever been in. Let me tell you, I got news for you. God doesn't leave you in the midst of the trial. He's the one that's lifting you up. He's the one that's holding you up. He is your sustenance. He is your strength. Amen. He is that rock and that foundation. They need not depart. I'm thinking the disciples do. Lord, they got to eat. What they going to eat? So they begin to take matters into their own hand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever done that. But many, many times we can't wait on God to interact. We can't wait on God to do something for us, to create a miracle. We got to begin to take things and matters into our own hand. We can begin, Lord, we're going to have to do something. And they found a little boy had two fishes and five loaves, and they gathered it up, had a little bit of faith. Come on, we got church folks with a little bit of faith. Amen, but how are we going to do that? How's God ever going to do that? And they brought it to Jesus, and I'm thinking they're bringing it with kind of doubt. This is all we could gather. This just a little bit. You know, but it ain't going to be enough. Jesus said, they need that part. Give ye them to eat. I wonder if the Lord came to First Pentecostal Church this morning and said, give ye them to eat. How many of us who have been healed? How many of us who have been delivered? How many of us who have a wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of us have shouted the aisles of victory? How many of us, amen, have received that Spirit of God into our being, the Holy Ghost of the Lord? How many of us would say, well, Lord, I don't know what to feed them? When we're full of the power and the anointing of God, I don't know what to give them. I don't know what to say to them. All I got's just two little fishes and five loaves of bread. All I got is a couple of scriptures. All I got is a little testimony. Let me tell you something. If that is the case, take your little two fishes and your five loaves of bread, and instead of holding on to it, give it to Jesus. I said, bring it to Jesus. Lord, this is all I got, but I'm going to give it to you. Amen. And something happens when you release it into the hands of the Lord. The Bible says little is much. Amen. We're nothing. I agree. We can't do anything, but we can also say that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When I release it in the hands of the Lord, when I bring it to Jesus, He takes my inability and makes it become an ability. He takes my nothingness, amen, and brings it into something. Glory to God. He doesn't need me, but I surely need Him, amen, and I need to give it to Jesus. They say unto him, I want you to look at the word B-U-T. Not we have here an abundance of five loaves and two fishes. We have here the beginnings of a great miracle. We have here the starting of a great revival. We have here an excellent opportunity if we put it in the hands of the Lord. But they said none of that. They said we have here but two fishes, or five loaves and two fishes. Jesus said, He said, bring them hither to me. Can I tell you this week, as I begin to read and study, I could almost hear the voice of the Lord, bring them hither to me. Let's get a little bit beyond the fish and the loaves. Let's talk about whatever it is that's bothering you. Whatever it is that you just can't seem to see a miracle in. Whatever it is that you've already counted it as a hopeless situation. My Lord, what a terrible condition for a born-again Christian to be in and call it a hopeless situation. Now with me, I got a whole lot of hopeless situations, but not with the Spirit of God. Amen. I have never lost hope in having the Spirit of God come on the scene for me and take a situation and turn it around. My Lord, if we just bring it to Jesus. How simple that sounds, but how difficult we make it. We haven't learned to release. We've learned to ask. We've learned to have faith. We haven't learned to give it up. We haven't learned to release it and give it to the Lord. Amen. I believe that the disciples, you know, they were concerned. They wanted to see a move of God, but you know, the material things begin to overwhelm them, and the concern for the folks that was out there. They need to go back to their villages and they need to eat. And Jesus said, no, they don't have to depart. They don't have to go. You don't have to get out of that dry and barren land to be able to eat. Evening came, the Bible says, and the time passed. The time passed. The disciples said, let them go back to their villages to buy food. And Jesus said, no, just keep them here. They don't need to depart. These are the words of Jesus. I believe, as I said it before, amen. Even in the midst of a desert, the Lord can create a feast. And I'm talking spiritually here now. I know that God says supplies our material needs, but I'm more focused on our spiritual needs this morning. The disciples were able to locate five loaves and two fishes. And Jesus said, bring them to me. Notice what He did with them. He blessed it. He blessed it. He raised it up to the Father and he blessed it. And then he broke it. Amen. He broke it up. Glory to God. You know, there's a lot to be said for the breaking ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know sometimes our substance needs to be broken? Sometimes our situation needs to be broken. You know, I thought about this, and I thought about I thought about the disciples, and they're giving him the bread and the fishes, and he's beginning to break it, and he just keeps breaking it, and it just every time he breaks off a piece, there's another part to break off. It just doesn't run out. Hello? Do you understand? It just doesn't run out. Let me tell you something. I believe the disciples could have took those loaves of bread and those fishes, and they could have cut it in the smallest pieces they possibly could, and they wouldn't have gotten nowhere near around 5,000. But when they brought it to Jesus, come on. Glory to God. Christians need to quit saying, well, I don't see how it's going to get done. Amen. Take it to Jesus. I just don't think things are ever going to be any better than take it to Jesus. I've even heard Christians say, I don't see any way out of this. Take it to Jesus. Watch him. Something transpired. As I said, I keep saying that over and over and over. But the time that they released that into Jesus' hands and he took it and he blessed it. He began to break it up. And he began to give it back to the disciples. And he said, go feed them. And they distributed to the multitude. And they all had plenty to eat. The Bible says they even took up 12 baskets of fragments. Hallelujah. We haven't learned. I haven't learned to release it into the hands of the Lord. But understand, when we release it, when we truly let it go, there is a miracle that's going to follow. Hallelujah. What we could never do with those fish and loaves of bread, Jesus can take it and begin to distribute it. Now, I said this to say this. There's probably very few of us, in fact, probably very few people that I know in the surrounding area. There's some that maybe don't have sufficient food to eat. And if we're looking at this story only in a natural sense, for God to meet our material needs, we're missing out on so very much. Hopefully, if you have a relationship with the Lord, you know he's going to meet your spirit, your financial needs. He's going to meet your material needs. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I believe that with all of my heart. But somehow when we trust him for our finances, somehow when we trust him for even our occupation, when we trust him for the material things in our life, sometimes overlooked in all of that is being able to trust him for the situations and the problems and the trials and the different things that attack us spiritually. Amen. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't care how much you have. Amen. It's how much you love what you have. I was reminded as I read this story this week, and I thought about the man who had such an overwhelming harvest that he thought within himself, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. And I thought about that, and I said, God, are you against bigger barns? Are you against material needs or material things that we have? God, do you not want us to have anything? And that was Satan, by the way. That was the spirit of the adversary getting on your shoulder. And it's almost like read the story again. It wasn't the barns that God was concerned with. It was the situation of his soul. Because he said, tonight I'll say to my soul, come on, what? Be content. Be at peace, because my soul Amen. But it wasn't. You can have all the barns in the world, amen, and still give your soul to Jesus. You can have material needs as long as they don't become God in your life. Amen. But the situation that God is concerned is, how is your soul? How is your soul? Amen. Have you given your soul to Jesus? Are you still trying to trust yourself with it? That won't work. That won't work. You got to release it into the hands of the Lord. And there's so many stories in the Bible where we had to bring those things to Jesus. And I thought, Lord, it's such a simple concept, but it's so overlooked by Christians in the world today. We want to do it ourselves. We want to think that we're strong. We want to think that we're independent. We want to think that there's nothing that we're not able to do. But there come a time, amen, when things are going to come around in our life that we're not going to be able to handle. We're going to have to give it to Jesus and bring it to Jesus and give it to Him and let Him touch it and anoint it. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if you have a problem. I don't know if you have an affliction. I don't know if you have something that's impeding you from really getting victory in your life. But I encourage you today. I pray today that you'll release that and put it into the hands of the Lord and let the Lord take that little bit and begin to multiply it and begin to bless you in your life. Amen. When you find that, amen, when you find and understand and realize that as long as you hold it and as long as you try to make it multiply, it'll never come to fruition until you learn to release it and put it in the hands of Jesus. Now, you got to release it in the right to the right direction. Amen. You can't just release it to anybody. Amen. So many people are looking for other avenues to release it to. But the Bible says here, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Brother, what does that mean? I believe anything that you're encountering in your life, you can bring it to the Lord. And the wonderful thing is that we have that ability. Amen. We have that right to walk right up to the Lord. Amen. In a spiritual manner and say, Lord, this is what's bothering me. This is what I can't seem to get over. This is what I just can't realize in my life, God. But I'm going to release it right now and give it to you. Amen. And the Lord will take it. And He'll bless it and He'll anoint it. Amen. Things that you and I could never imagine, the Lord can take it. But you got to make that transformation. You got to release it. Amen. You got to put the ownership in His hands. Amen. They say ownership is the buzzword in the business world today. They want you to take ownership of a certain program that you're working, take ownership of a certain situation on the job or whatever. You know, you probably hear that all the time. And what they're doing is that when you take ownership of something, then you're more responsible for it. Amen. But you know what? There's too many times we took ownership of a situation in our life and we hadn't released it to Jesus. I'm ready to transfer ownership. Amen. I'm ready to say, Lord, I can't handle it, but I'm going to give it to You because I know You can do it. I know You can touch. I know You can make whole. Amen. How many knows that God is real? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is real. You know, there's a saying and an actual belief today that there is no God, but God is real. Amen. I can feel Him in my soul. I'm going to ask for the music to come back and I'm going to bring this to a close in a different manner this morning because I feel so strongly about this song that I want to share because of the words that are in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise while they come.
I know with all of my heart that when I read the Word of God, I believe the Word of God. And I do believe the words in this song that says, my God is real. He's real because of what I read, but He's also real because of what I feel in my heart. There are some things
may not know. Jesus!
it to the Lord. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you do care about the problems.